I want to bring in Ron Levine, former criminal division chief at the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. He's at Post and Shell now. Thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it. So,
you're welcome, Dan.
So what do you make of my frustration bordering on fury at this judge in a high-profile case like this, crossing, in my view, those lines by suggesting he should have been charged with treason and inaccurately stating he was working in the White House? And I mean, it just seems to me either this judge was completely unprepared or he just got carried away.
Well, look, there's no excuse for the inaccuracy. And I know he came back from his break and walked that back, as he did also his question about treason. But remember, a judge at sentencing is trying to evaluate both the character of the person and the crime. And he's not really beholden to the views of the prosecution or the defense. He's got to make his independent judgment. And I think it is not irrational, and I think it's probably fair to say, these are very, very serious crimes, both the foreign registration crimes before he got to the White House, but while he was still with the campaign, and you know, the lies to investigators while he was at the White House.
But that's not treason. But that's, look, I agree that they're serious crimes.
Yes.
I do. But you can't just, I think one of the things that is problematic here is there are a lot of people who are losing trust in our legal system. And one of the things I try and focus on is let's stick with the same rules that are always applied to everyone. And in a case like this, why would the judge start talking about treason? I mean, that to me is the equivalent in a battery case of saying, did you consider attempted murder? And well, they'd be like, what? Did we consider attempted murder? You mean because someone slapped someone else in the face and we charged him with battery? And you're asking me if we should have charged him with attempted murder?
Look, I agree with you that the judge misstepped and grievously. But I think he was expressing, number one, his sense of the seriousness of the crime. And I don't think that can really be disputed. And number two, remember, his defense lawyers, that is to say Flynn's defense lawyers, made a judgment which may in retrospect have been a strategic misjudgment in talking about the circumstances of his interview with the FBI, and he didn't know perhaps that it was unlawful to lie to the FBI. I mean, that is, I think, something that might have also inflamed the situation.
That was dumb. It was really dumb. And they tried to distinguish it in court today. The defense attorneys tried to suggest we were trying to explain why he should get a lesser sentence than some other people who knew, who were warned that it was a lie and who had their lawyers there with them, which is fine, but it was not a smart thing to include, I agree with you, in the document, in their sentencing memo. All right, our phone lines are filled up, and so I want to take some of your calls. Ryan from Idaho joins us now. Hey, Ryan, thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Appreciate you taking my call. So I want to take exception with you. I get what you're saying about we needing to protect witnesses who participate in cases like this, but it seems to me this is a message to Trump and the Trump administration, but maybe not in the way you're thinking about it. Looks to me like they tried to sneak in a bunch of PR crap, to be honest with you, like, oh, well, maybe he was entrapped. Oh, gosh, maybe he didn't know what he was doing. Oh, geez, maybe he's not really guilty. And I think my guess is, honestly, it hacked off the judge. Like, really? You're pleading guilty, but you're pulling this PR crap? It's just a typical Trump trick to try to diffuse and obfuscate and throw us off and, you know, diminish everything.
Look, I think you're right that it was a foolish move for the Flynn team to include that in their sentencing memo. I said it at the beginning. I said it just now. I'll say it again. They shouldn't have done it, and they paid a price. And I was okay with the judge questioning Flynn again and again, saying, wait a sec, I need to know you're not trying to have it both ways. But when you have a federal judge who starts talking about treason and, you know, the language that he's using about our country that he sold out based on inaccurate information that the judge is relaying, the judge, in my view, loses credibility, and that is just devastating to our legal system.
Well, I think it's unfortunate that he made the comment because it does tend to obscure the really serious aspect of the crime that we can all agree on, which was in the White House, lying to the vice president, lying to the president's team, apparently, and then lying to the FBI and lying and also lying on his FARA registration before that. So, I mean, it lying to the FBI sounds kind of almost like a vanilla crime. In this context, it's extremely, extremely serious. And I do agree with the caller that that is part of what was prompting the judge. But no excuse for the mistake.
But again, except that what we're not focusing on enough, in my view, is everyone's talking about the crime, and I get it. The reason Flynn is getting leniency is because he's cooperating so fully. And you know what? His lawyers are right that this is an almost impossible environment for someone to cooperate in. And as a result, he should get even more credit for that. And I'm okay with that, too. I really
am. The dictum of most federal prosecutors, of which I used to be one,
I know you. Yep.
Is cooperation is great. It's welcome. It's important to the system. It doesn't erase the crime. So actually, I think Mueller has gone beyond that, which happens in many cases, by recommending a low end of the guideline range, which in this case means probation. So he's getting rewarded for his cooperation.
Yes, he is. But I'm just I agree. And look, I'm okay with everything that the prosecutors did here, and I'm okay with the agreement Michael Flynn made. I'm not okay with what the judge did in court today. Bill from Los Angeles joins us now. Los Angeles or Louisiana? Anyway, hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good. It is Los Angeles. Well, I don't know, Dan. I think I'd chime in with everybody else that, to me, it sounds like you're erasing the crime. Mike Flynn is in a position that, you know, a handful of human beings in our country get to, and the guy violated the law while he's in that position. And you're on the radio saying it's an outrage that he was treated, you know, rudely.
No, let me be clear. Names. No, what I said was it's not okay to accuse him of treason. I'm saying I care about the legal phrases matter. The law matters. And that for a judge in this case to be misstating the facts about whether he was in the White House or not in the White House when he was an unregistered foreign agent, basically working for a foreign government, and then to say, well, you know, prosecutors, why don't you treat him for treason? The prosecutor was literally stumbling. He didn't know what to say.
Well,
let me let Bill.
Before,
go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead, Bill.
Have you been in front of federal judges before as a lawyer?
Not as a lawyer, no.
I've been in front of federal judges. These guys are appointed for life. You know that.
Yep.
And they're mostly old white guys. You also know that. These guys reek of privilege.
Well, this guy's not white, just so you know, but for whatever.
All right.
I'm just
All
saying.
Right.
For not that that matters, but.
A federal judge is a category of human being. They make up stuff right and left in a federal courtroom, and they are God.
Well, you know what? I'm going to because I've covered cases, probably covered more cases than you've argued, and as a result, have watched judges around this country. And I'll tell you that on the whole, I'll defend the judges. Yeah, there's some bad apples out there, but I'm not going to just have someone say, you know what? All the judges, they're all kind of crappy out there. That sounds like a kind of Trumpian argument.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan, having been in front of many federal judges. Most of them are doing their job and trying to do it to the best of their ability. And frankly, I don't think any different of this judge other than he overreacted, and got his facts twisted.
Bill gets the final word. Oh, Bill's gone. Okay. Bill, I wanted to give you the final word, just so you know. All right, let's go to Ernest from North Carolina. Hey, Ernest, how you doing?
Hi, Mr. Abram. My question, actually, it's more of a statement.
Yeah.
I want to see what your reaction to it is. There was an emotional. See, you're very dispassionate. You know, from a legal standpoint, I guess that is what we need to do in order for justice to take place.
Yeah.
But what I think is going on is that the judge, when he asked for a recess or postponement, was that his emotion got, he was so emotionally involved or intense that he needed some some space. He needed some time in order to think this over. And that is something that I guess in a legal case, I'm not a lawyer, but you have the emotional aspect of it, and I think what some of the callers have been expressing, it's to separate that from a very cold, dispassionate process.
But Ron Levine, you were a former federal prosecutor. I just think it's dangerous when we start making apologies for judges, you know?
Well, yeah, Dan, look, I'm not making an apology for him, but I do think the caller makes an interesting point, which is, a judge is a human being too. He then took a break, which was probably a wise thing to do, came back from the break, clarified that he had made a misstatement as regards the word treason, offered the guy both before and after the break the opportunity to delay his sentencing so that he could maximize his cooperation, whatever little of it is left. And ultimately, the defense attorneys took him up on that for, I think, quite good and obvious reasons. So, I don't think this is the end of the world. I don't think it bespeaks, some terrible injustice that's been inflicted.
Here's my bigger concern, Ron, is that that what this case is about, right, this fundamental case against Flynn, is that words matter. And the words you use to FBI agents matter. And I think the same thing applies to judges. I'm not saying this judge committed a crime. I'm just saying his words matter. And in a case where the plea is about words, about lying, to then completely misstate things and to vastly overstate the crime is exactly the sort of case where you shouldn't be doing that.
Look, you and I may end up agreeing to disagree on this. I think judges make mistakes just like you and I do. Yeah. I agree words matter. I also think that a White House official or a campaign official doing back-channel negotiations with Russians about sanctions, which is really what the case is about,
yep.
At a time when there's a Russian campaign influence campaign ongoing, creates at least reasonable concerns, at least among lay people and perhaps even among this judge, about what's going on here. And again, it's not to justify the use of the word. He did it in the form of a question to the prosecutors. Did you consider charging treason? Is it treason?
Are you really, can you say that, Ron? Can you really say those words without pausing? And so, he just said, did you consider treason? As if it's like a garden variety crime. Yeah, did you consider treason? I mean, come on.
I completely agree with you that the judge goofed.
All right.
Having goofed myself in court, I think the defense lawyers in this case, maybe in retrospect, think they may have goofed in their sentencing memo, and having seen judges make mistakes. And judges get reversed on appeal. I'm just according him slightly more slack than you.
Ernest, thank you very much for the call. I got to get in a break here just to give you a sense of what some of the callers on the line want to talk about. I see the words Dan is crying. Dan is getting worked up, conspiring with Russians. Still think Flynn is withholding information. The number is 866-967-6887. More calls coming after this break on the Flynn hearing. Right. Despite hundreds of sleep products out there, many still sleep terribly. Scott and Missy Tannen, the founders of Boll & Branch, decided to do something about it. Started 5 years ago with their signature 100% pure organic cotton sheets. Now they're proud to introduce their new luxurious Boll & Branch mattress, your foundation for great sleep and better health. It's designed to keep you cool, supported, and comfortable all night long. It's made by hand right here in the United States. From natural materials like cozy wool and pure organic cotton, with 2,000 expertly engineered coils to support you from head to toe, you can try the Boll & Branch mattress risk-free for 100 nights. They deliver and set it up for free. Plus, you can get $100 off your new mattress at BollandBranch.com with the promo code LEGAL. That's $100 off at Boll, B-O-L-L, and Branch.com. And the promo code is spelled LEGAL, L-E-G-A-L.
The Dan Abrams Show continues now on POTUS, Channel 124.
We're talking about the hearing today, the sentencing hearing that was delayed of Michael Flynn, and I've been talking about how, for the first time, I felt sorry for Michael Flynn today when a judge asked why he wasn't charged with treason, and the judge falsely stated in the context of scolding him that he was working in the White House as an unregistered foreign agent, which isn't true, and then he came back from break and realized, maybe I shouldn't have used the T word. But Michael Flynn decided, after saying repeatedly that he would take responsibility, he was ready to be sentenced, that maybe a little cooling off period might be appropriate. So they're going to postpone that sentencing. But I haven't been that cool about it. And Helen from New Jersey doesn't seem that happy about my responses. Hi, Helen. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Dan. I mean, I just think as a lawyer, you're just like crying because all the nasty judge didn't take my advice and my recommendations. You know, the judge made it very clear that he comes from a position of believing that to whom much is given, much is expected, and that this man, of all the people that have been brought before him, should have been the one to most know not to lie, not to mingle his corporate interests with the national affairs. And I have no pity for him at all.
So does it bother you that a judge uses a word like treason, even though this is a case where we're talking about a plea on lying to the FBI?
I think that the judge asked. He didn't charge him with that. And he gave him lawyers an opportunity and the prosecutors an opportunity to clear him of that.
So when Donald Trump asks questions on Twitter and he says, you know, people just tell me, I don't know. And then he asks an incredibly inflammatory question. You're cool with that, too, right?
Well, this defendant just took, you know, just poured fire on the flames or flames on the fire of just pretending that, you know, this is a deep state maneuver to get Donald Trump by saying, oh, you know, they had it in for me. They didn't give me rights, et cetera. So, you know what? Sometimes I'm just a little tired of it. And I'm not saying that the judge wanted to do this, but I thought it was effective, just like I thought it was very effective when the judge asked him and his defense attorneys like 3 or 4 times to clarify the fact that I'm guilty. You know, they didn't do anything wrong and I'm guilty. And, you know, that is a correction.
I was okay with that too, by the way. And I think that was necessary. Thanks for the call, Helen. Debbie from Pennsylvania joins us now. Hey, Debbie, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted, I know that you're stuck on this judge questioning about the treason for the prosecutors, and I just was kind of curious of maybe he was getting into the redacted areas of the summaries that was exposed yesterday.
So that's a good question. I'm going to answer it, and then I'll let Ron Levine, former federal prosecutor, weigh in on it as well. The reason I don't think that's the issue is the prosecutor seemed as shocked by the question as anyone. So when the prosecutor was asked, did you consider treason here? He sort of stumbled and stammered and then came back and said, no, it was never on the table here. So that's how I feel confident that the redacted information doesn't suggest that. And you know, furthermore, and Ron Levine, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think that in the initial statement of facts as to the crimes that he committed before they announced, you know, sort of this is what he's pleading to, they lay out the various crimes they think he's committed. If there'd been something more serious, they would have laid it out.
Yeah, Dan, I agree with you. And this is a relatively experienced judge. If the redacted, he wouldn't get close to the redacted matter. He wouldn't touch that. And so I don't think that was some kind of veiled reference to something being kept from the public.
But it's a good question, Debbie. And a lot of people were actually asking that question on Twitter as well. Thanks for your call. Kenny from Seattle joins us now. Hey, Kenny, how you doing?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Well, I actually had more of a comment on you than on the subject, because I, like probably many of your listeners, listen to you for understanding law and politics, because there's lots of pundits, but not a lot of like lawyers specifically saying, let's look at it from legal perspective. And you're always very clear and rational and level-headed. And so normally this is something that I just like be doing my work, listening in the background. And when I heard you get like kind of go off the rails on this, I was like, whoa, Dan, level-headed Dan is going nuts. Okay, I got to listen to that. So I stopped what I was doing and I just paid attention. And I don't think that you're handling it poorly. I think that this is, like we're saying, you know, the judge is a person and Michael Flynn is a person, all these people, you're also a person. You have opinions and emotions and all these things. So to hear you have such a visceral reaction was like, okay, this is important. This is something I should pay attention to.
All right, well, Kenny, let me ask you. I've had similar reactions, have I not, to when Rudy Giuliani starts talking crazy and I play sound bites from him, and or when the president starts tweeting things about You know, how this investigation's so corrupt, et cetera. I mean, look, what I'm saying today is probably something that more people on the right would support than people on the left. I think a lot of the people who've been calling today are probably left-leaning. But to me, it's critical in this environment to maintain credibility as an analyst who's going to call them as I see them, and most importantly, to call out both sides if need be, as long as it's what the law is and should be. And I think, you know, I think I do that not just on today, but, you know, when I'm calling out President Trump at times too, no?
I would say that for me, this issue is, like you're always talking about, it's not about left or right, it's about the law.
Yep.
And the law is very, very focused on wording.
Yep.
Wording matters. That, like you said, words matter, and nowhere does it matter more than it does in the law. So for a judge, a federal judge who should know this better than anybody, to come out and use the T word,
amen,
that is out of the blue, is a big deal. Now, is it as big of a deal as you seem to be making it? I kind of see why. I understand both sides of the argument
right
here, but I don't think that you are, flipping your lid over nothing.
All right. Thank you, Kenny. I appreciate the call. Gloria from California joins us now. Hey, Gloria, how you doing?
Good. Look, first of all, I'm not left-leaning, and I'm a big fan of the rule of law, so just make that clear. But I just kind of think we need to put the judge's ruling in the context of the information that is pretty common knowledge, and that would be that, Flynn actually supported the coup against, I think it's Erdogan, against that government, and then just not long after, he's completely reversed his position as national security advisor to the Trump campaign, and basically then supported Turkish interests, and this continued even into him becoming the national security advisor. And to some extent, when you put your own interests above the national interest, that is treasonous. Now, maybe you don't like me throwing that word around because I try not to use it, but that is somewhat treasonous. And the other thing I was thinking of was maybe the judge knows about the conspiring with the Russians, though he would never talk about it, because that whole issue of him having phone calls and texting various people during inaugurations about removing the sanctions, I don't even know where that is
That's part of this. I mean, the plea here is specifically about conversations with the Russian ambassador with regard to effectively not overreacting to the sanctions and to a number of Russian diplomats being expelled from the country. And basically, the question to Flynn was, did you tell the ambassador basically chill out, or did you just talk to him broadly about, you know, what's going on? And Flynn didn't tell the truth about his conversation. That was the heart of it. But, my concern becomes, first of all, you say that his work for the Turks continued into his time as the national security advisor, but that's exactly what the judge had to correct himself about today. I understand on a sort of broadest level that you're frustrated and you're angry about what's happening, as am I. But that doesn't mean that we lose sight of the very specifics in the rule of law. And there's no way, and I'll ask Ron Levine this, there's no way that these federal prosecutors have evidence that Michael Flynn was conspiring with the Russians, for example, to influence the election, and that they're just letting him plead now to this lying to the FBI crime.
No, I think that's correct, and they wouldn't be ready to go to sentencing if they had such evidence. They'd be using him as a cooperating witness in that regard as well. So, on the topic of rule of law, I mean, I guess call me looking through rose-colored glasses, but the judge calls a halt, corrects himself, and puts things off for 3-4 months. That seems to me, an adequate kind of curative remedy to what happened today.
Keith from New Jersey joined. Thanks, Gloria, by the way. Thank you for the call. Keith from New Jersey joins us now. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So I think globally, the issue that sets Flynn apart is that, as many callers have noted, somebody who's in that position of authority, who's in that level of leadership, is naturally held to a stricter account than most people.
Yep.
But I think you're right at that, you know, the larger system requires that we take and acknowledge that people that help, that people that support get that level of cooperation in return. But I also think that the issue here with Flynn is something that a lot of people don't recognize, that what he's being accused of under 18 U.S.C. 1001, the sections require material falseness. And, you know, the FBI here knew what he was saying was wrong when he said it. And the idea that it materially affected their investigation is obviously not true. But that's not the way the law is construed. And anything you say that's technically a lie to the FBI, you can be found guilty under this. This is something that the FBI uses for people generally. And I think, like your first caller from Texas, people assume that, you know, the Flynns of the world are getting a different level of treatment than the FBI does for other people. But what he did here was get tripped up in a lie of something that the FBI already knew.
All right, let me ask Ron Levine about that. Ron Levine, yeah. How important is that issue, the fact that they already knew it? I mean, I would assume in many cases they already know that someone's lying.
Yeah. It's a bit of a red herring. It was a creative try by Rudy Giuliani the other day, as I recall. It doesn't have to materially affect the investigation. It has to be
right.
Material to the investigation. And his denial, even if you have a tape of what he said, his denial is material. Because think about this. He's on tape. He could explain away what he said, or he could say what was in his mind. But his denial is material to the investigation because it shows consciousness of guilt. It forecloses him reinterpreting what he said on the defense. So it clearly was material. The caller is exactly right that Section 1001 is often used by law enforcement in all kinds of contexts, not only this kind of high profile.
Final question, Ron. We're almost out of time here. What do you think? I still think he's going to get no time when they sentence him March and beyond. What do you think?
You know, I think it's probably 60-40, no time. But, you know, the judge, I think, is offended by the conduct for many of the reasons your callers have cited. And so if he may give him house arrest. He may give him some more onerous conditions of probation in terms of community service. But I'd say 60-40, no time giving Mueller.
Ron Levine, thank you so much. Great guest. Appreciate it. This is the Dan Abrams Show. See you back here tomorrow.